Penguin Random House Audio presents Quakeland, On the Road to America's Next Devastating Earthquake by Catherine Miles. Read for you by Bernadette Dunn. For Jane and Mike, My Bedrock. It cannot be expected that an examination of the phenomena connected with this disturbance will throw any light upon the origin of earthquakes. Scientific men do not seem to have gained from the terrible earthquake that devastated the island of Ischia 1 year ago, or from the great catastrophe of Krakatoa and the Straits of Sunda 1 month later, much useful information, in addition to that which they already possessed, upon which to form new theories or reconstruct old ones. Whatever may be the cause, whether it is the falling of the roof of vast subterranean caves, or the raging of a molten sea in the interior of the earth, or the contraction of portions of the earth's crust caused by the gradual cooling of the entire ball. This fact is plain enough to unscientific persons, that such disturbances are beyond the control of men, and that the dangers that accompany them are best avoided by living beyond the limits of the earthquake and volcanic regions. Those who look back upon the experience of yesterday, either with fear or with curiosity, may well rejoice that their lots are cast in a country where earthquakes do no harm. The New York Times, August 11, 1884. Prologue. 2 years ago, a good friend returned from a mapmakers' conference with a gift for me, an enormous poster of the world. On it, the oceans are the deepest black a printer can print. The continents are just a shade lighter. What illuminates the map itself is a rendering of every earthquake that has occurred in the past decade. White dots for the really big ones, yellow and orange for the moderate ones, red for the rest. Together, these dots create arcs of fire that define the edges of all the planet's tectonic plates. Plumes of light point to active zones in California and Alaska, Japan and India. You'd expect that, of course. But here's what that map also shows. Burning embers up and down the east coast of the United States and across Europe. Big patches of heat in the American heartland, along with Antarctica, Australia, and Greenland. To my mind, this map best illustrates one very important fact. Earthquakes are everywhere. Prior to writing this book, I had experienced two observable ones in my life, though neither of them really counts. The first occurred the summer I turned 13. My family was living in the Quad Cities then, and I had acquired my first job, which was selling subscriptions to the daily newspaper. Each day, a van would collect me and a half dozen other adolescents. The driver would give us each $2 for dinner at McDonald's, and then we'd be dropped off in a different neighborhood, where we were supposed to knock on every door and sing the praises of the paper to whoever answered. As it turned out, pretty much everyone who wanted to read the paper already had a subscription. So I took to pocketing my dinner money, ditching my bag of complimentary papers, and instead of attempting sales, wandering up and down residential streets, imagining what life was like in cluttered duplexes and gated colonials. On one particularly sultry evening, I got back to the van just in time to hear that a strong earthquake had rattled the region. Magnitude 5.1, the largest quake to hit the Midwest in over 20 years. Fans at a Detroit Tigers game had thought the stadium was going to collapse. Employees in a St. Louis high-rise reported that the building swayed back and forth. An entire apartment complex all the way over in South Carolina had been evacuated. I had felt absolutely nothing. In the days after, I replayed the evening over and over again in my mind, looking for some evidence that I'd been in a quake. Hadn't I felt a shake? Heard dishes rattle in a nearby apartment? Seen power lines ripple? In truth, I hadn't seen or heard anything, not even a dog's bark. I felt cheated. The second quake occurred a few months before my 30th birthday. I was lying on a beach on Hawaii's Big Island, waiting out the appearance of a very stubborn great white shark nearby. Suddenly, the ground beneath me shifted an inch or so forward, and then back. I looked up to see if anyone else had noticed. If they had, they didn't let on. Back in the hotel, the front desk clerk just shrugged and said, "Earthquake," when I asked about it. Apparently, when you live on a giant volcano in the tropics, tremors are about as noteworthy as fresh bananas and sunny days. I guess it could be worse. A neighbor of mine experienced a moderate quake in Maine during the throes of an ugly divorce. While he was working in the basement, he heard the dining room table screech across the floor and assumed it was his soon-to-be ex-wife helping herself to the furniture. Most Americans have earthquake experiences as lackluster as these. The country hasn't had a big one since 1989, when a violent quake rocked Northern California just as TV viewers were tuning in to watch Game 3 of that year's World Series. As luck would have it, the series was between the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's, which meant 67,000 people were in the stands instead of on highways and bridges. Hundreds of thousands more were at home safely glued to their televisions. As it happens, every major network was also in the area, which meant that this quake, since named Loma Prieta, was the first truly televised one in history. Around the world, tens of millions of viewers, 35 million in the United States alone, tuned in expecting pregame commentary. Instead, they heard the panicked shouting of announcers and watched as fans stumbled out of the stadium. They kept watching as helicopters circled a section of Interstate 880 that pancaked in the quake, killing over 40 people and trapping dozens more. They looked on with disbelief at footage of the Bay Bridge, where a 50-foot segment had broken off, and, incomprehensibly, a 23-year-old and her brother attempted to drive over it. The car hung off the edge of the bridge for what seemed an eternity as a Coast Guard helicopter rescue team risked their lives to save the passenger. The driver died at the scene. Those images scared the bejesus out of many of us. Here was proof of what an earthquake could do to our nation's infrastructure, even to the engineering marvels that are our modern highways and bridges. There have been other tragic images since then, photographs of rescuers pulling children out of unimaginable rubble in Haiti, of climbers and Sherpas caught in avalanches on Everest, of an 80-foot wall of water destroying towns and resorts in Thailand, of villages in Japan evacuated because of nuclear radiation, all caused by earthquakes. So far, the 21st century has proven a particularly deadly one worldwide when it comes to ground shaking. The 2004 Sumatran earthquake and tsunami killed an estimated 228,000 people. A 2008 quake in China took 88,287 lives. In 2010, nearly 250,000 people died when a magnitude 7.0 quake struck Haiti. Factor in several other quakes with death tolls in the tens of thousands, and you have approximately 800,000 lives lost to earthquakes in this century alone. The only other natural disaster this century that comes even close to these numbers is Cyclone Nargis, which killed approximately 138,000 Myanmar residents in 2008. Collectively, we have a poor memory when it comes to disasters like these. A few years go by, the images fade. As they do, we get lulled into complacency. We tell ourselves that quakes happen in other places, that they'll never happen to us. We've been lucky so far. In the United States, only about 150 people have been killed by earthquakes in the past 50 years. Nevertheless, even these moderate quakes have come with a huge price tag, over $30 billion by some estimates, and whether you've felt the tremors or not, there's no denying that every single state in the country has witnessed an earthquake, even seemingly unlikely places like Florida and North Dakota. The U.S. Geological Survey is the federal organization that oversees geological concerns, including earthquakes, in this country. According to the USGS, over 75 million Americans currently live in areas of significant seismic risk. Already, those areas include 39 states. Both of those numbers are expected to rise in coming years. Meanwhile, on any given day,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?